A logo appears in bold slanting letters over a blue planet in space. Turner. Now, in a black and white film, sparks shoot out of a radio transmitter atop the revolving Earth. An RKO radio picture. Titles appear over a folding screen painted with a roaring black panther. RKO Radio Pictures Incorporated presents Cat People. With Simone Simon as Irena Dubrovna, Kent Smith as Oliver Reed, Tom Conway as Dr. Judd, Jane Randolph as Alice Moore. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Matthew Lane. Read by Rena Baskin. Funded by the U.S. Department of Education. Titles continue. Music by Roy Webb. Copyright 1943, RKO Radio Pictures Incorporated. Produced by Val Luton. Written by DeWitt Bodine. Directed by Jacques Tourneur. Now, words appear over a statuette of a swordsman on horseback. Even as fog continues to lie in the valleys, so does ancient sin cling to the low places, the depressions in the world consciousness. From The Anatomy of Atavism by Dr. Lewis Judd. Now, at a zoo, a black panther prowls back and forth in its cage. A shapely young woman in a tailored skirt and jacket watches it and draws on a sketch pad. Her gaze flits between the cat and pad, then she tears off the top page. Crumpling it up, she turns and looks around with a slight pout. A headband holds her brushed curls off her smooth, girlish face. Spotting a trash can, she tosses the crumpled page. It lands at the feet of a trim man in his early 30s, wearing a tweed suit. He throws it away and points to a sign. Let no one say, and say it to your shame, that all was beauty here until you came. The young woman smiles with a nod and turns back to her sketch pad. As the man comes up behind her, she crumples another page. She goes to throw it, and he takes it.
Thank you.
As the woman begins a third sketch, the man pitches the wad into the trash can. Smiling under his cocked fedora, he faces the woman.
You won't believe this. You've probably heard it a dozen times before, but I've never known any artists.
I'm not an artist.
Oh, what's all this?
And I do sketches for fashion drawing.
Oh, may I see it?
Oh, no, it's not good. If I let you see it, you might not want to know any artist.
She drops a torn sketch.
I'm afraid it'd have to be pretty bad to do that. Besides, look, let no one say and say it to your shame.
He points at her torn sketch. Smiling, she packs up her portfolio. The man folds her collapsible stool, and an organ grinder passes near. As the man and woman stroll away, a breeze flips over the torn sketch. On it, a sword runs through a panther's sleek body. Later, the pair walks down a city street.
Irina Dubrovna, is that a Russian name?
No, I'm from Serbia.
Oh, I see. Would you mind spelling it?
Want to know how to spell my name? Are you going to write me a letter?
I'd like to write you a letter.
What about?
I would say in this letter, dear Mr. Dubrovna, I would say, will you have tea with me?
She shakes her head.
Oh, well, in that case, I just have to write you another letter. I'd say...
Here's my house.
They stop at a brownstone with tall carved doors.
Perhaps, Mr. Reed, you would like to have tea in my apartment?
Oh, Mr. Broker. You make life so simple.
Irena leads him through an elegant foyer with heavy draperies and patterned wallpaper. At the foot of a broad, dark wood staircase, 2 6-foot newel posts stand like sentries.
You know, I never cease to marvel at what lies behind the brownstone front.
By an upstairs door, Irena takes out her key. She turns and stares at him.
Well, what's the matter?
Nothing.
But you looked at me in such a funny way.
I've never had anyone here. You're the first friend I met in America. Oh, I know lots of people in business. Editors, secretaries, other sketch artists, you know. You might be my first real friend.
Thank you.
Irena opens the door and they enter a stately room. He doffs his hat.
Nice.
That's Lalage.
Lalage?
The perfume I use. I like it. Perhaps too well. Maybe I use too much of it, living alone like this.
It's hard to describe. Not like flowers, exactly. It's like something warm and living.
Later, in the darkness, dim light from a curtained window outlines the statuette of the swordsman on horseback. Standing near, Irena presses her lips together. The trim man sits smoking a cigarette. He puts it out.
What's that?
It's the lions in the zoo. One can hear them here often. Many people in this building complain. The roaring keeps them awake.
And you don't mind it?
No. To me, it's the way the sound of the sea is to others. Natural and soothing. I like it. Some nights there is another sound, the panther. It screams like a woman. I don't like that.
He lights up.
Oh, I hadn't realized how dark it was getting.
She turns on a lamp.
I like the dark. It's friendly.
She picks up a tea tray and he reaches to help her.
No, keep still, please.
As she takes the tea service to the kitchen, he notices the statuette, taps the ash from his cigarette, and stands. Carrying an ashtray, he studies the sculpted swordsman. An impaled animal hangs on his raised blade. Irena returns.
Are you admiring my statue?
Yeah, not exactly. Who's it supposed to be?
King John.
Oh, King John. The Magna Carta and all that stuff.
Oh, no, King John of Serbia. He was a fine king. He drove the Mamelukes out of Serbia and freed the people.
Well, why have this around?
Well, perhaps you have in your room a picture of George Washington or Abraham Lincoln.
Well, what does it mean? Why is he spearing that cat?
Oh, it's not really a cat. It's meant to represent the evil ways into which my village had once fallen. You see, the Mamelukes came to Serbia long ago, and they made the people slaves. Well, at first, the people were good and worshipped God in a true Christian way. But little by little, the people changed. When King John drove out the Mamelukes and came to our village, he found dreadful things. People bowed down to Satan and said their masses to him. They had become witches and were evil. But King John put some of them to the sword, but some, the wisest and the most wicked, escaped into the mountains. Now, do you understand?
Well, I still don't see what it has to do with you.
Those who escaped, the wicked ones, their legend haunts the village where I was born.
The man glances at a mantel clock, and Irena looks at her watch. They share a smile.
Boys who come to tea can't expect to stay to dinner.
Some other time, perhaps.
He gets his coat and hat, and Irena opens the door.
Tomorrow?
She smiles and nods, then sees him out into the hall.
What time tomorrow?
She shrugs.
Dinner?
She nods brightly. He returns a smile, then heads down the grand staircase. Throwing on his overcoat, he pauses on a landing halfway down and flashes another grin at Irena. She leans over the handrail, beaming. As he reaches the foot of the stairs, the trim man gazes up at her once again, then goes. Irena returns to her room. Daytime. A sign reads, C.R. Cooper, Ship and Barge Construction Company.
A little more on the left, Harry.
Inside, men pin a ship's blueprint to the wall.
Afraid she's going to be all right, Alice.
She's got what it takes, all right, Commodore.
Alice, svelte and curly-haired, files cards in a drawer. Puzzled, she scans the room. A tall engineer wearing round glasses looks under his drafting table. Nearby, the trim man glances at a box on his desk. A Siamese kitten pushes out of it, and Alice smiles broadly.
Ah, isn't it a darling?
She picks it up.
Where'd you get it?
I bought it.
You're not going in for cats, are you, Oliver?
No, Commodore, I just bought it for a friend.
We arrive at the inescapable conclusion that our Oliver has a girl.
A brilliant deduction, Carver. Come here, I want to show you something.
A girlfriend?
Oh, a girl.
Anybody I know?
Not yet, but I know you like her.
Well, if you like her, she's okay with me.
Later, in a wet overcoat, Oliver strides up to Irena's door with his box. Irena opens the door wearing a smock.
Hello.
Look, Irena, I brought you a present.
Her smile fades as Oliver puts down the box and takes out the kitten, which backs away from her. Irena reaches out. The kitten bristles its fur and arches its back.
Oh, you little devil.
Oliver cradles the kitten.
Oh, it's all right. It's just that cats don't seem to like me.
Yeah, but this is only a kitten. It's very friendly. When I had it in the office, Alice, that's the girl who works in our department, played with her.
He puts the kitten in the box.
Cats just don't like me. Oh, I know what we can do. You got it at the pet store, didn't you?
Yeah.
Good. Well, we could exchange it for some other pet.
Oliver nods.
I'll get my coat.
Later, in a pet shop, an old woman naps in a rocker surrounded by cages of all sizes. Oliver and Irena come in from the rain, smiling. A parrot flaps on its perch. A monkey leaps across its cage. Kittens cower in their cage, and two mockingbirds flit back and forth. Startled awake, the old woman approaches the couple.
I'd like to exchange this kitten for a canary.
You have to talk louder.
What did you say?
I can't understand a word you say.
Irena gestures. The shopkeeper follows them outside onto the front stoop, pulls the door shut, and gapes.
I can't imagine what... Oh, Landy, dearie me, I can't imagine what put into them. All that caterwauling. The last time they did that was when an alley cat cut in and ate up one of my nice rice finches.
Oh, I wanted to exchange this kitten for a bird.
Why, of course. I have some lovely canaries. One little lemon-colored fellow with top notes like Caruso.
She opens the door.
As peaceful as my dream of heaven. Shall we go back now and select just which little birdie?
You go, please, Oliver. You pick the one you like. I'd rather stay here.
Of course. I'll only be a minute.
Irena waits outside.
Animals are ever so psychic. There are some people who just can't come in here. My dear brother's wife, for instance. She's a very nice girl. I've got nothing against her. But you just should see what happens when she puts her foot inside this place. The cats, particularly. They seem to know. You can fool everybody. But Landy, dearie me, you can't fool a cat. They seem to know who's not right, if you know what I mean. Here we are. Isn't he a ducky little angel?
Outside, Irena smiles and nods at the canary.
This is it.
Thank you.
The shopkeeper covers the cage with a sheet of newspaper, then hands it to Oliver. He tucks it against his drenched raincoat and joins Irena outside. Smiling, she holds up the cage and peeks in.
What do you think of it?
Oh, he is sweet. He would like me very much, you would see. I like to be liked.
That ought to be easy. Really easy.
Later, in Irena's apartment, Oliver sleeps on the couch by a flickering fire. Irena kneels beside him with her head resting on his side. Oliver stirs and opens his eyes.
Irena?
Yeah?
I've been asleep.
I know.
Couldn't have been very entertaining for you.
I was watching you.
That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You love me, Irena.
Mm-hmm.
You know I love you, don't you?
She nods.
I've never kissed you.
She lowers her eyes.
Do you know that's funny?
Why?
Well, people in America are in love, or even think they're in love. They've usually kissed long ago.
Irena turns away and swallows hard.
Well?
With a troubled gaze, she bites her lip.
Irena, what's wrong?
I've lived in dread of this moment. But I never wanted to love you. I've stayed away from people. I lived alone. I didn't want this to happen.
But you just told me you love me.
I do. I do. I fled from the past. Some things you could never know or understand. Evil things. Evil.
He sits up.
Irena, you've told me something of the past. About King John and the witches in the village and the cat people descended from them. They're fairy tales, Irena. Fairy tales heard in your childhood. Nothing more than that. They've nothing to do with you, really. You're Irena. You're here in America. You're so normal, you're even in love with me, Oliver Reed, a good plain Americano. You're so normal, you're going to marry me. And those fairy tales, you can tell them to our children. They'll love them.
She rests her cheek against his chest, and he kisses her hair. Later, snow falls outside a window displaying three cow heads on a bed of flowers. Letters on the glass pane read, "The Belgrade." Inside, Oliver and Irena chat at a long, crowded table. Oliver's tall colleague, the engineer, greets a waiter.
Aha! Come in, Tarji.
Oh, Mr. Carver, you should not call a good man that.
But it's Serbian. I got it from my barber this afternoon.
But you might insult him. Kamitaje means thief, bandit.
I've been double-crossed.
The Commodore leans close to Alice.
Oliver's bride seems to be a very nice girl. And a very pretty one, too. Carver tells me she's a bit odd. He's worried about the marriage.
Nonsense. Irena's a grand girl. She and Oliver are going to be very happy together.
I certainly hope so.
He glances at Oliver and Irena, then stands up.
To the bride.
The bride.
Across the room, a woman in a black sequin dress looks over. Her drowsy, long-lashed eyes settle on the newlyweds. The Commodore spots her and turns to the engineer.
Look at that woman. Isn't she something?
Carver, the engineer, puts on his glasses and takes a look.
Looks like a cat.
Irena smiles at Alice.
Thank you so much for this lovely party, Alice. I didn't know there was a Serbian restaurant.
Anything you want to know about this city, ask me. I know all the unimportant details.
The strange woman comes over and stares.
Moja sestra.
She steps closer, raising her eyebrows imploringly.
Moja sestra?
Irena crosses herself. The stranger wraps a black fur stole around her shoulders and steps out into the snowy night. The wedding guests watch her go.
Well, how do you like that?
What did that woman say to you, darling?
Irena stares outside.
What did she say? Now, wait a minute. It can't be that serious. Just one single word.
She greeted me. She called me sister. You saw her, Oliver. You saw what she looked like.
Oh, the cat people. She looks like a cat, so she must be one of the cat people. One of King John's pets. Oh, Irena, you crazy kid.
Later, a taxi pulls up to the brownstone.
I know a joke about weddings. Why would my wedding be a dollar and cents wedding, eh? All right, why? Because I haven't a dollar and my girl hasn't any cents.
That's a corny joke even for you, Doc.
Come on, Carver.
Irena stands in the falling snow with Oliver. He shuts the door and watches the taxi pull away. With her arms folded, Irena stares at the ground. Oliver turns her to face him.
What is it, darling?
I'm going to beg...
Oliver smiles.
Mrs. Reed?
It's nice to hear that. Nice. I want to be Mrs. Reed.
Well, you are.
But I want to be Mrs. Reed, really. I want to be everything that name means to me. And I can't. I can't. Oliver, be kind. Be patient. Let me have time. Time to get over that feeling there's something evil in me.
Darling, You can have all the time there is in the world if you want it. And all the patience and kindness there's in me.
Only a little time, Oliver. I don't want more than that.
He walks her to the front door, holding her around the waist. Later, in her bedroom, Irena leans against the closed door, wearing a robe. Oliver stands on the other side.
Good night, Irena.
Inside the bedroom, Irena sinks to her knees. Her fingers slide off the knob down the door. As Oliver waits outside, her eyes shift. She reaches for the knob. Dropping her hand, she hangs her head.
Good night, Oliver.
Good night, Irena.
Oliver steps glumly away from the door, leaving Irena alone on the other side. Daytime. At the zoo, a zookeeper sweeps around the bars of the panther cage. Irena approaches the man from behind.
Nothing else to do. I stray. Well, ain't seen you here in some time, ma'am.
Been married. Been married for almost a month.
That's what I tell this critter. Nobody comes to see him when they're happy. No, sir. Monkey house in the air where he gets all the happy customers.
But he's beautiful.
No, he ain't beautiful. He's an evil critter, ma'am. You read your Bible, Revelation. Well, the book's talking about the worst beast of them all. It says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard.
Like unto a leopard?
Yes, ma'am. Like a leopard, but not a leopard. I guess that fits this fella.
Yes, it fits him.
Mesmerized, Irena stares at the panther, then walks off.
Nothing else to do. I stray with a cotton. Best wishes for your marriage, ma'am.
Irena waves to him.
Nothing else to do. Nothing else to do.
Later, in her apartment, Irena sketches near a tall folding screen painted with a roaring panther. Daylight throws the shadow of her caged canary across the cat's face. Irena touches up a design of a full-length gown, then stretches and yawns. Wearing her smock, she strolls over to the hanging canary cage. Irena slowly nudges the cage door open and slides her hand inside. As she tries to grab the bird, it flits from a perch and darts around, evading her grasp. Irena's playful smile vanishes. The canary lies motionless on the bottom of the cage. Irena slowly withdraws her hand. Pausing, she gently reaches back in and picks up the lifeless bird. Cradling it in her fingers, she lifts it out and gazes sadly at its tiny body. Irena carries the canary to her desk, pulls open a drawer, and rifles through it. Finding a small cardboard box, she removes the lid, sets the bird gently inside, and replaces the box top. Later, at the zoo, Irena approaches the panther cage wearing a long, dark fur coat. Behind the bars, the large, sleek cat paces back and forth. Irena throws the dead bird in the cage. She watches, holding herself tightly, then hurries away. Later, in the apartment, Oliver gets a wine glass.
Would you like some sherry?
Irena stands at a far window with her head bowed. Oliver fills two glasses and hands her one.
If you're determined to mourn that bird, we'll have a regular wake.
It's not just because the bird died. It's me. I envy every woman I see on the street.
They can't match your little finger.
I envy them. They're happy. They make their husbands happy. They lead normal, happy lives. They're free.
Oliver lights a cigarette and sits down on a love seat. Irena stands by the empty birdcage and looks at him.
Do you know what happened to the bird?
It died.
It died of fright when I tried to take it in my hand.
All right, the bird was afraid of you. That's nothing. I had a rabbit once that hated me. Yet I grew up to be quite a nice fella.
She sits down next to him.
Oliver, when I went past the panther's cage, I had to open the box. I had to throw the bird to him. Do you understand? I had to do it. That's what frightens me.
Biting her lower lip, she paces toward the statuette of the swordsman and impaled cat. Oliver goes to her.
Irena, I've been trying to kid you out of it. Maybe that's wrong. I've tried to...
No one could have been more gentle or more patient.
I tried to make you realize all these stories that worry you so much nonsense. But now I see it's not the stories. It's the fact that you believe them. We've got to have help, Irena.
Her gaze drifts back to the sculpted swordsman.
Not that sort of help. There's something wrong, and we have to face it in an intelligent way. We don't need a King John with fire and sword. We need someone who can find the reason for your belief and cure it. That's what we need. A psychiatrist.
Find one for me, Oliver. The best one. Very best one.
Later.
You were saying the cats.
They torment me. I wake in the night, and the tread of their feet whispers in my brain. I have no peace, for they are in me.
Irena lies in a dark room, eyes closed.
In me? In me?
The psychiatrist, a lean-featured man with a thin mustache, leaves her side and goes to a nearby window where light filters dimly through pulled drapes. As he opens them, daylight fills a clean office. A spotlight shines on Irena. The doctor, wearing a double-breasted suit, shuts it off, takes some notes, and pats Irena's cheek with the back of his hand. She opens her eyes.
Nurses always tires me. Some of my patients, too, find it exhausting.
It's only that I remember nothing.
But it's my duty to remember. I have it all here. Most interesting. You told me of your village and the people and their strange beliefs.
So ashamed. It must seem so childish.
And the cat women of your village, too. You told me of them. Women who, in jealousy or anger, or out of their own corrupt passions, can change into great cats like panthers. And if one of these women were to fall in love, and if her lover were to kiss her, take her into his embrace, she would be driven by her own evil to kill him. That's what you believe and fear, isn't it? These things are very simple to psychiatrists.
He opens a desk drawer.
You told me about your childhood. Perhaps we'll find this trouble stems from some early experience. You said you didn't know your father, that he died in some mysterious accident in the forest before your birth. And because of that, the children teased you and called your mother a witch, a cat woman.
He puts his notes in the drawer.
These childhood tragedies are inclined to corrode the soul, to leave a canker in the mind. But we'll try to repair the damage. You're not to worry.
What shall I tell my husband? Naturally, he's anxious to have some word.
What does one tell a husband? One tells him nothing.
He drapes Irena's fur coat over her shoulders and opens the door. Later, at the brownstone, Irena bustles up the broad staircase and takes out her key. Opening the door, she smiles at Oliver and his visiting colleague.
Alice, it's so nice to see you.
Hello, darling. How'd you make out with Lewis?
Lewis?
Dr. Judd.
Irena gapes.
Alice knows, darling.
Of course, didn't I suggest Dr. Judd? I met him on the Commodore's boat. The way he goes around kissing hands makes me want to spit cotton. But I guess he knows all there is to know about psychiatry.
Irina glares at Oliver.
Uh-oh.
I told Alice. I knew she'd know some good doctor.
I don't see why that was necessary.
Sorry. I seem to have put my big foot in it.
Alice stands, wearing a skirt suit and stiff beret. Oliver helps her with her coat.
I'm sorry, Irina. I'm sure neither Oliver nor I had any notion of offending you. I'm dreadfully sorry.
Irina faces away from them.
Goodbye, Alice.
Alice and Oliver exchange a brief glance, then Alice goes.
Darling, really, there's no reason to...
But, Oliver, how can you discuss such things, such intimate things about me? How much did you tell her?
Oh, you can tell Alice anything. She's such a good egg, she can understand anything.
There are some things a woman doesn't want other women to understand.
Irina retreats to her bedroom. Later, Irina gets out of bed and goes to an open window. Sheer moonlit curtains stir in the night air. Irina crosses her arms with a sudden chill, then puts on a pair of shoes. Later, at the zoo, a chain blocks the way to the panther's cage. Behind the bars, it paces back and forth. Irina, wearing her fur coat and nightgown, stops at the chain and watches the cat. Pulling her collar close to her neck, she begins to pace. Irina pauses and stares, then leaves in a hurry. Later, she enters the brownstone. Oliver sits in the foyer.
Irina.
Wearing his raincoat, he approaches and smiles.
I woke up. You were gone. What's wrong, darling?
Well, I couldn't sleep. I went out.
Where'd you go?
Just walked.
I'm sorry about this afternoon. I just didn't think.
Oliver, we should never quarrel. Never let me feel jealousy or anger. Whatever is in me is held in, is kept harmless. And I'm happy.
I turn handsprings, darling. I dance in the streets to make you happy.
He tweaks her chin. Daytime. At work, Oliver and Alice sit at a drafting table.
Toward the shear line. 62 degrees.
Hey.
I'm sorry. I must have given you the wrong figure. Let me try again.
Wait, let's have a cigarette first. That's the third wrong figure you've given me this morning.
Getting careless in my old age.
Something's on your mind. Anything wrong?
Nope.
As she puffs a cigarette, Oliver takes a drink of water.
Must be married.
Well, in a way it is. I'm worried about Irina.
But I thought she was going to Dr. Judd.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I ran into Dr. Judd this morning. She hasn't been back since the first visit.
But you told me she seemed so anxious to be cured.
Apparently not.
I'm sorry, Ollie. Must make you very unhappy.
You know, it's a funny thing. I've never been unhappy before. Things have always gone swell for me. I had a grand time as a kid. Lots of fun at school. You're at the office with you and the Commodore and Doc. That's why I don't know what to do about all this. I've just never been unhappy.
Filling a cup of water, Alice tears up.
Hey.
He gives her a hanky.
Now, wait a minute.
As she wipes away her tears, Oliver shows her to a chair behind a filing cabinet.
I can't help it. I just can't help it. I can't bear to see you unhappy. I love you too darn much, and I don't care if you do know it, Ollie. I love you. I'm sorry. Forget it. There's Irina. You're in love with her.
I don't know. All this trouble has made me think. I don't know what love really is. I don't know even whether I'm in love with Irina.
I know what love is. It's understanding. It's you and me and let the rest of the world go by. It's just the two of us living our lives together, happily and proudly. No self-torture, no doubt. It's enduring and it's everlasting. Nothing can change it. Nothing can change us, Ollie. That's what I think love is.
Well, that's the way I feel about Irina. It's a different feeling. I'm drawn to her. There's a warmth from her that pulls at me. I have to watch her when she's in the room. I have to touch her when she's near. But I don't really know her. In many ways, we're strangers.
You and I, we'll never be strangers.
She shakes his hand, and they share a fond smile. At the zoo, Irina walks toward the panther cage as the zookeeper finishes tidying up. As he moves on, Irina spots the key in the cage door lock. She steps up to the cage and takes it. Walking after the zookeeper, she passes before the caged panther.
Forgot your key?
Oh, I'm always forgetting it. There ain't no worry in it. Nobody want to steal one of them critters.
She smiles at the man and strolls back past the panther. Her smile fades as she notices Dr. Judd watching her.
You resist temptation admirably.
Temptation?
The key.
Well, why would I want it?
For many reasons. There is, in some cases, a psychic need to loose evil upon the world. And we all of us carry within us a desire for death. You fear the panther, yet you're drawn to him again and again. Couldn't you turn to him as an instrument of death? You didn't come back to see me Friday. I've had to come to you.
Well, how did you know where to find me?
You told me many things. Why didn't you come back?
I don't feel you can help me. You're very wise, you know a great deal. Yet when you speak of the soul, you mean the mind. And it is not my mind that is troubled.
What a clever girl. All the psychologists have tried for years to find that subtle difference between mind and soul. And you found it.
It does seem presumptuous of me, doesn't it? Goodbye, Doctor.
He watches her stride off. Later, in the brownstone apartment, Oliver paces with his hands in his pockets. In a far corner, Irina wears her smock and cleans paintbrushes. Beside the statue of King John sits a model ship. Oliver adjusts the rigging.
Irina.
She glances at him, then returns to her work, swirling a brush in a bowl of turps. Oliver walks up to her.
I'm worried. What's happening to us?
I love you, Oliver.
I know, but people can love and people can still drift apart. And that's what I feel is happening to us.
She stands.
We don't talk together openly. You're not frank with me.
I've never lied to you.
I ran into Dr. Judd today.
She looks away.
You haven't been back to see him.
He cannot help me.
Well, you won't let him help you. You won't let me help you. You won't even help yourself. It's what I said to Alice this afternoon. You're content to go on
Alice.
As we are.
Irina stiffens and glares at her husband.
I promise you we'd never quarrel. Let's calm down a bit. I'll go back to the office. I've got some work to do.
Oliver leaves her standing alone. He grabs his hat and coat and heads for the door. Irina's morose gaze follows him out. Later, as Oliver approaches the Cooper building, the revolving door turns slightly. He spots a cleaning woman on her knees in one of the rotating nooks.
Oh, do you want to go up to the office, Mr. Reed?
I think I'll go around the corner to Sally Lund's to get a cup of coffee before I get to work. I'll be back.
The old lady nods with a cigarette pinched in her lips, then brushes ash off her shirt. Oliver goes into a restaurant decorated with gingham curtains and country chairs. A smiling waitress pours him a glass of water.
Hello, Mr. Reed.
Minnie.
Maybe you'd like some nice chicken gumbo today.
No, thanks, Minnie. How about some apple pie and a cup of coffee?
Yes, sir. My goodness, don't nobody like chicken gumbo?
Later, in the drafting room, Alice puts out a cigarette and shuts off her desk light. A tabby cat sits on a nearby light table as she puts on her hat and grabs her coat.
Hello? Hello?
Irena listens on the other end of the line.
Hello?
Irena slowly hangs up. Alice does too and looks at her cat.
John Paul Jones, don't you hate people who do that?
She turns the light table off, then puts on her coat and heads for the door.
Good night, John Paul.
In the apartment, Irena grabs her coat and heads out. Back in the Cooper building, Alice steps from the elevator and crosses the lobby. She reaches into her handbag and stops near the cleaning lady who mops the floor.
Here, Miss Agnew, a couple new matchbooks for your collection.
Oh, thank you, Miss Moore. Ooh, chartreuse. Ain't that elegant? Too bad you wasn't here just a minute ago. Mr. Reed looked in.
Oh, where'd he go?
Said he was going around the corner to Sally Lum's.
I'll see if I can catch him. Good night.
Good night, Miss Moore.
Mrs. Agnew stops mopping and flicks cigarette ashes off her shirt. At the country restaurant, Alice joins Oliver.
Could you squeeze a coffee pot for me, Minnie?
Oh.
I sure could, only this coffee's been working so long it's got muscles.
What are you doing in this part of town at this hour of night?
He sulks.
Stormy weather.
Outside, Irena's reflection appears in a flower shop window. Oliver and Alice sit as Minnie closes the restaurant.
Ollie, you're going to have to solve your problems your own way. I'm going to drink up and go home.
Irena watches them through a window.
I think you'd better go home, too, and make it up with Irena.
Alice, you're very swell.
That's what makes me dangerous. I'm the new type of other woman. Night, Minnie.
Good night.
Night, Minnie.
Good night.
As they leave, Irena ducks into the flower shop's recessed doorway. She watches Alice bundle up and stroll past the Cooper building with Oliver.
You cold?
A cat just walked over my grave.
Irena steps from the doorway. Oliver links arms with Alice and leads her to a street corner lit by a single lamppost.
Don't you want me to walk you home?
No, thanks. I'm a big girl now, and I'm not afraid.
Oh, good night.
Good night.
They shake hands, and Alice heads down a dim back street. As she glances back, they wave goodbye. Then Oliver walks off in the opposite direction. Creeping through the shadows, Irena pulls her coat tightly closed, then pauses on the street corner. She spies Alice and hastens after her. A high stone wall edges the sidewalk. Irena paces in and out of pitch-black shadows between street lamps. Alice strides casually under the glow of a lamppost. Irena follows seconds later, her steps brisk. Wearing high heels, the two ladies tread in and out of darkness. The rough stone wall glistens with dampness as Alice moves forward. Alice walks nonchalantly with her hands in her pockets. Stepping from the shadows, she pauses beside a lamppost and knits her brow. Slowly, she looks over her shoulder. Two street lamps stand tall in the night, spreading hazy pools of light on the empty street. With a nervous look on her face, Alice hurries on, then stops and glances back again. Breaking into a jog, she runs over to a street lamp and clings to it. A bus lurches to a halt in front of her. As the doors open, Alice spots rustling bushes.
Climb on, sister. Are you riding with me or ain't you?
Alice climbs aboard.
You look as if you'd seen a ghost.
Did you see it?
The driver shakes his head and pulls away. Now at the zoo. panther and a leopard roam their cages while sheep cross a muddy pen. A zookeeper ambles past them with a glowing lantern and finds three sheep lying limply in the mud. He nudges one with his foot, then inspects another's neck. Near the dead animals, light from his lantern reveals a trail of paw prints. He reaches into his pocket. On a sidewalk, blotchy mud prints trail off, then resume as the footprints of a woman's high heels. Irena paces slowly past a lamppost, holding a handkerchief to her mouth. A car pulls up beside her.
Taxi, lady?
Irena stares nervously at the driver, then opens the door and gets in. At the brownstone apartment, Oliver paces, smoking a cigarette. He takes a long drag, then puts it out on an ashtray. Irena enters forlornly, her coat and dress smeared with mud. Oliver rushes over and holds her waist.
No, please don't. Don't touch me.
She pushes away from him.
Irena, I'm sorry. I've been worried to death. I didn't know where you were. I thought...
He steps close and faces her.
And what happened tonight happens in every family. I was all on edge. You've got to understand, and you've got to forgive me.
Her head droops forward as she hobbles toward her bedroom.
I forgive you.
She disappears into the darkened room, leaving Oliver outside. Inside the bedroom, she throws off her coat, then runs a bath. As she takes off her heels and stockings, Oliver steps up to the bedroom door. As he listens in, Irena unbuttons her dress.
Irena?
What?
Are you all right?
Oliver shifts his gaze, then walks away. In the bathtub, Irena huddles, her head pressed to her knees. Later, she stirs restlessly in bed. As she tosses, her face grows blurry. A nightmarish spiral whirls around, superimposed over her head. A dozen black cats with demonic eyes stray from its center, and Dr. Judd appears dressed as King John.
To loose evil upon the world. There is, in some cases, a psychic need to loose evil upon the world. There is, in some cases, a psychic need, a desire for death. To loose evil. Desire for death, the psychic need, the key.
His sword fades, the key to the cage appears.
The key.
Irena sits up in bed. Daytime. At the zoo, Irena spies the key in the panther cage door. The zookeeper sweeps in the distance. Irena steps over to the cage and takes the key. Behind the bars, the panther bites a chunk of raw meat. As it looks up with large, glassy eyes, Irena glances at the zookeeper, then drops the key into her purse and hurries off. The panther watches her go. Later, a wood carving of a panther adorns the prow of a model ship. As Irena studies it, Alice and Oliver approach the museum piece.
I'm afraid this is dull for Irena.
Well, look, darling, there's some beautiful moderns upstairs. Why don't you take a look at them?
Oh, but I like these little boats. I want to be with you. Don't send me away.
Oh, we're not sending you away. We just don't want you to be bored.
Frowning, she starts off.
We'll meet you in the main lobby in an hour.
Irena watches him follow Alice.
Oh, Ollie, look, a drawing of the Victory.
You know, that's the last man of war with a Latin sailor.
Irena leaves, pouting. Outside the exhibit hall, she pauses on a flight of stairs. In front of the railing, rising from the floor below, a shiny black marble statue of the Egyptian god Anubis stands at eye level to her. Beside its jackal head, Irena's eyes shift thoughtfully. With a sudden resolve, she leaves the museum. Nighttime. Outside an apartment building, Alice gets out of a cab and waves goodbye. As she goes inside, another cab pulls up. Irena gets out, straight-faced. Quickly paying the cabbie, she peers in through a front window. Inside, Alice approaches the clerk.
Could I have the key for the swimming pool?
Of course, dearie.
Oh, what a darling kitten.
Yeah, it's one of four. Tabby had him about a month ago.
Alice puts the fuzzy black kitten down.
Don't forget to turn the lights out when you're through, will you?
I won't forget.
Hello?
The kitten follows Alice out. Irena enters and finds the clerk on the phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The clerk glances at Irena.
Just a moment, dearie.
Yes?
Is Miss Moore in?
She just went downstairs to the swimming pool.
Would it be all right if I went down to see her?
Of course, dearie. Right down them steps there. Oh, gee, I can't tonight.
Down in a locker room, Alice puts a robe on over her bathing suit. The kitten bristles, fixing its eyes on a stairway. As Alice watches with a puzzled look, the kitten bolts. Alice shrugs with a nervous smile and turns off the light. In the darkness, she moves toward the open doorway where the stairs end. Cautiously, she steps closer, eyeing the stairway's tiled wall. Something at the top of the stairs throws a low, slinking shadow. Alice runs to the pool. She swims to the center. Reflected light from the water shimmers on the pool room's dark ceiling and walls. An enormous shadow skims across a wall. Treading water, Alice scans the poolside. Her eyes dart around the cavernous room. She looks about her. The flickering light grows briefly dim as something passes. Alice whips around. A dark form lurks in the corner. Unharmed, Alice treads faster, churning up bubbles. Up in the lobby.
Herb, I'm here to get in school.
Gee whiz, Mrs. Hansen.
Oh, come ahead, window.
The clerk and an elderly chambermaid hurry off. From the pool, Alice sees a woman's silhouette. Irena flips on the lights and smiles with amusement.
What is the matter, Alice?
The clerk and maid rush to the doorway.
What about us, Miss Moore?
Gee whiz, dearie, are you all right?
It's nothing. It was dark down here, and Mrs. Reed coming in unexpectedly frightened me. I'm terribly sorry.
They turn to go.
No, don't go. I'm coming right out.
As Alice swims to the ladder, Irena steps closer.
Sorry to have disturbed you, Alice. I missed you and Oliver, and I thought you might know where he is.
We waited for you at the museum. You'll probably find him at home.
If you don't mind, then, I'll run on.
Irena smiles coyly and leaves, passing the desk clerk on her way out. The blonde-haired clerk watches Irena go. Alice climbs out of the water.
Could I have my robe, please?
Sure.
The clerk gets it off the floor.
Gee whiz, honey, it's torn to ribbons.
Alice takes the torn-up robe from the desk clerk and furrows her brow. Across a large gash in the back, mangled threads stretch like cobwebs. Later, in the lobby, Irena's psychiatrist meets with Alice.
Thank you for coming at so late an hour, Dr. Judd. I phoned you because I'm troubled. I think you can help me. How much do you believe about the cat people?
The cat people? A story Mrs. Reed told me.
Yes.
I believe, my dear Miss Moore, exactly as I told Mrs. Reed. The story is a product of her own fear, her own overworked imagination.
What would you say, Dr. Judd, if I were to tell you that I believe Irena's story?
Yes?
Twice I've been followed by something that was not human, something that attempted to take my life. I believe that was the cat form of Irena.
Why should she wish to harm you?
Because I'm in love with her husband.
Oh, my dear Miss Moore, the story grows more and more charming. Simpler, too, all the time. You're both victims of fear. Mrs. Reed fears the past, and you fear the present. Mrs. Reed has a very strong imagination. But you have an equally strong conscience.
Dr. Judd, the danger that threatened me was very real.
You disappoint me, Miss Moore.
Alice reaches behind her.
Here's my robe.
She shows him the tears.
To understand this, I should first have to hear Mrs. Reed's version of the story myself. That should be a most interesting interview.
I shouldn't advise you to see her alone.
Do you think I'm afraid of so charming a lady?
Dr. Judd, I know you don't believe me, but you must be careful.
Oh, you want me to carry some means of protection. A gun, perhaps, with a silver bullet. Is that what you mean?
If you're lucky enough to have one.
Of course,
He raises his walking stick.
This isn't silver.
The shaft contains a hidden sword.
Good night, Miss Moore.
He retrieves his gloves and hat and goes. Later, in his office with Irena.
You say you have lapses of memory for which you cannot account. They're becoming more frequent and you're afraid.
Help me.
I can't help you. You're not truthful with me.
But I am. I've told you everything. I have not lied to you.
Do you sincerely believe that if your husband were to kiss you, you would change into a cat and rend him to bits?
I don't know. I'm only afraid.
He holds her arm.
And if I were to kiss you?
I only know that I should not like to be kissed by you.
Dr. Judd takes out his cigarette case.
My dear Mrs. Reed, sometimes in my profession there comes a contest of wills between the doctor and his patient. Patients are clever. Very clever. And they can fool the doctor. Sometimes.
Lighting up, he exhales smoke.
You're very clever. And perhaps you enjoy this little game you're having with me. But I shall discover your secret.
Dr. Judd, believe me. I beg you to believe me. I have no secret. I told you everything. I have not lied to you. I need your help.
I can't help you. But I can warn you. These hallucinations approach insanity. This nonsense about Miss Moore at the park and in the swimming pool. It's a deterioration of the mind, the escape into fantasy. And it's dangerous. At this moment, I could go before board and have you put away for observation. You're that close to real insanity.
His gaze softens. Smiling, he moves closer.
I can't help you. You can only help yourself. You keep going back to the mad legends of your birthplace. Forget them. Surround yourself with cat objects, pictures. Get rid of them. Lead a normal life.
You know, for the first time, it really helped me.
Maybe it's because you interest me.
Irena looks briefly into his eyes, then lowers her head and walks away. Dr. Judd slides his hand into the pocket of his slacks and stares after her, raising an eyebrow. Later, at home, Irena sets a candlelit table for two in front of the fireplace. Oliver comes in, solemn-faced, and takes off his hat.
Oliver, I went back to Dr. Judd's office. I'm no longer afraid.
Believe me, Irena, I'd been the happiest man in the world if you told me that a little while ago. But things have changed. I had to learn... Maybe through this marriage of ours. I didn't want to tell you this. But now you see, I have to. I love Alice. Lorraine, it's too late.
Too late?
There seems only one decent thing for me to do. I'll give you a divorce. But believe me, it's better this way.
Better? Better for whom?
Irena, I...
Pete, you can't speak. There's nothing you can say. There's only silence.
Irena sits and clings to the back of the sofa.
But I love them. I love loneliness. They're murdering me. Their strength, their warmth. They're soft. They're soft.
Irena, you're talking like an insane...
Please go. I wanted to go. Please. Go. go.
Closing her eyes, she presses her forehead against the sofa cushion. Oliver looks back at her, then goes. Irina slides her fingernails down the cushion and rips four long slits. Irina cringes. Daytime. At the country restaurant, the waitress, Minnie, brings dessert to Alice, Dr. Judd, and Oliver.
Bavarian cream?
Oliver points to Alice.
Roquefort?
Dr. Judd accepts the plate.
And you get the apple pie.
She smiles at Oliver.
I have pointed out two alternatives, Mr. Reed. Either have her put away for observation and restraint, or have your marriage annulled.
It's tough for Oliver either way, Doctor.
As a psychiatrist, I should recommend that you have her put away. As your friend, however, I have much more reasonable advice to offer. I think you should have your marriage annulled. In that way, you are free of responsibility. You two could marry.
And if Irene is sent away?
The law is quite explicit. One cannot divorce an insane person.
If she's not well, I got to take care of her.
It's the only right thing, Ollie.
As you will. I'll have the commitment papers drawn up and arrange an interview with Mrs. Reed at her apartment tonight. Shall we say 6 o'clock?
They nod. Later, at the apartment, a clock reads 7:30. Dr. Judd sits on the sofa. A throw blanket covers the tears in the cushion. Beside Alice, a record plays on a phonograph. Oliver turns it off.
Let's not play that. I don't think Irene is coming. We waited an hour and a half.
Perhaps it's useless to wait.
I don't think she intends coming. She's probably walking in the park.
Behind them, Dr. Judd hides his walking stick under the sofa cushions.
Ollie, let's get back to the office. We've had a terribly broken up day, and there's lots of work to be done.
Suits me.
Oliver grabs his hat and overcoat, then helps Alice into her coat. As he turns off a table lamp, the room goes black, then lights up dimly as Alice opens the door. They head into the hall. Oliver follows Dr. Judd and Alice down the foyer stairs.
How stupid of me. I left my walking stick in the apartment.
Oh, I'll get it for you.
Oh, no, it's my fault. Give me the key. I shall only be a moment.
Dr. Judd hastens back upstairs with the keys. Gloves in hand, he unlocks the door, strides inside, and retrieves his walking stick. On his way out, he stops by the open door and adjusts the bolt lock, setting the latch in an open position. Later, at work, Oliver and Alice lean over a drafting table.
5.5.
5.5.
And 1 3/8.
And 1 3/8. There. I'll get it. Hello? 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 They hung up on me.
She eyes the phone.
That's funny.
What?
It happened once before like that. Telephone rang and I answered. There was someone on the other end of the line. I could almost hear them listening. And then there was a little click as they hung up the receiver. That was the night I was found on the transverse. Ollie, let's get out of here. I'm afraid. That was Irena. I know it was Irena who called. She could call from downstairs. She may be on her way up now.
Get your things.
Standing by a light table, they put on their coats and hats.
The door's open. We can see to get out into the hall.
Glowing tabletops softly light the room.
I'll turn off the table lights.
Alice gapes at the door.
Shut, Al. Just a minute ago, it was open.
Oliver jogs over and reaches for the doorknob.
It's locked.
They gape at a panther. Its fierce eyes glow. Alice and Oliver carefully back away as the cat slinks closer. The couple races across the room and freezes, trapped in a corner behind an illuminated table. In the darkness, the panther weaves past a stool, its fur shining in the dim light.
Leave us, Serena.
As the panther pads closer, Oliver grabs a T-square off the wall.
In the name of God, leave us in peace.
The T-square throws a shadow of a cross on the wall. Oliver and Alice stare out over the dark, still room. The door to the hall stands open. Oliver looks at Alice clinging to his arm.
Come on.
They make for the door. They creep out of the room and walk arm in arm down the hall. They head toward an open elevator, then stop a few feet away.
Let's go down the stairs.
The elevator doors close. On the stairs, Alice starts to swoon.
Don't, Alice. Let's go on. Everything's all right. Don't be afraid.
I'm not afraid.
Look.
Across the lobby, the revolving door slowly spins.
Lorena's perfume. Strong, sweet.
Oliver runs toward the door. Alice follows. Outside, a thick fog clouds the night.
I need a drink.
They walk off. Later, at the brownstone apartment, Dr. Judd paces, smoking a cigarette, as a record plays on the phonograph. Dr. Judd reaches for the phone.
Yes?
Dr. Judd?
Miss Moore.
Yes, we've been trying to get you on the phone, Dr. Judd. I called your hotel. Yes, I know. That's what I want to talk about. Are you alone? Well, you'd better leave then. She may be on her way back now. But she is dangerous, Dr. Judd. I warn you.
Irena enters the apartment.
Hello? Hello, Dr. Judd?
Seeing her, he hangs up the phone.
Dr. Judd! I think Irena just came in. He hung up on me.
Come on. We get a taxi.
Back at the apartment.
You're late, aren't you? I kept my appointment. You see, I've never believed your story.
He caresses her shoulder.
I'm not afraid of you. I take you in my arms. So little. So soft. This warm perfume in your hair. Your body. Don't be afraid of me, Irena.
He presses his lips to hers, and Irena's eyes gleam. Her face darkens, and her eyes glint as she sinks toward the floor. Dr. Judd recoils and grabs his walking stick. Drawing the sword, he knocks over a table lamp. In the light of the overturned lamp, the tangled shadows of a wrestling man and beast play on the wall. The panther pounces on Dr. Judd. He stabs his sword into it over and over. Gaping in horror, he stumbles back. Oliver and Alice arrive outside. Upstairs, the panther leaps on the fallen psychiatrist. Alice and Oliver head into the foyer. They race upstairs. On an upper flight, Irena emerges from the shadows. Holding her fur coat over her shoulder, she hides in a nook behind a tall potted palm. As Oliver and Alice dash past her, Irena slowly steps out from behind the plant. Upstairs, neighbors gather at her door. Irena watches from a distance as Oliver disappears into the apartment. She reaches out tenderly, then lays her hand on her shoulder. Inside the ransacked apartment, Alice and Oliver find two ladies.
Don't worry, Mr. Reed. Sue Ellen and I phoned the police just as soon as we heard the racket.
Dr. Judd lies motionless in the corner.
Thank you.
Neighbors watch Oliver stride into the bedroom, then reemerge. In the corner, a slight woman wearing a robe stands over Dr. Judd's body and reaches for something.
Sue Ellen, you know better than that. You're not supposed to touch anything until the police get here.
The sword cane.
Broken. Half of it's gone.
We've got to find her. Come on.
Alice and Oliver push past the gathered onlookers. At the zoo, mist veils the panther's cage as Irena walks toward it. She stumbles, leans wearily against a glowing street lamp, then hobbles on. Her tensed fingers grip her black fur coat, holding it draped over her shoulder. As she steps from the fog, her eyes remain fixed on the cage. The shiny black panther lying inside stares back through the bars. It gets up, paces in a circle, then lies back down, watching Irena with large, glistening eyes. As she moves closer, the tip of its tail curls back and forth. Irena takes out the key and reaches for the door. She unlocks the cage and opens it. The panther recoils into a corner. Tensing her jaw, Irena lowers her hand. The panther charges. It springs from the cage, knocking Irena down. Irena's head and fingers go still. The sword cane's blade juts from her back. The freed panther bounds over a wall. In the fog, a cabbie hurries around the back of his car, where a policeman shines his flashlight on the mangled body of the panther. At the zoo, Oliver and Alice race toward the open panther cage. Their eyes drift down to Irena's motionless body. Alice bites her knuckle. Oliver braces her arm with his firm hand, then slowly steps toward Irena. Getting down on one knee beside her body, he leans close, then looks up at Alice.
She never lied to us.
Alice turns away. He consolingly wraps an arm around her waist, and they walk off together. Words appear. But black sin hath betrayed to endless night my world, both parts, and both parts must die. Holy Sonnets No. 5, John Donne. More words appear. The end. A logo, RKO Radio Pictures.